Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Brian Sons, also known as Onyx. I've got a lot of things that, I want to share tonight. First of all, my guest tonight is going to be Jason Stanton. Jason is a paranormal researcher. And reading a little bit of his credentials, he's a paranormal researcher, radio personality, and author. He specializes in magnetic pool theories, which I'm not quite sure what exactly that is. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and as well as other paranormal phenomenon. I've got to apologize. My proposed co-host tonight, Melissa, she couldn't be with us. She couldn't be with us tonight. She had a migraine real bad going on all day and in a lot of pain. So tonight what's going to happen is shortly I'm going to be joined by our Pennsylvania representative and team member and also co-founder, Jennifer Popovich. She's going to come in a little bit and join, and she's got some news that she wants to share as well. You guys have been asking me in regards to the Sasquatch-themed show that we had a couple of weeks ago, where we talked about the roar that Melissa and I had encountered. You guys have been asking me why we hadn't, gone back there since, if we were going to go back there. We did go back there one time since. We didn't really get too much of anything. We're wanting to get back there. See, Melissa and I live probably about 45 minutes from each other. So transportation, kids, all that stuff comes into play. But we're definitely planning to get back in that area soon. We also have another couple of investigations that we've got coming up that we're going to be working on, a couple of graveyards that we're going to try to investigate. I've been asked about the movie, the Skookum movie. I had Mike Woolley and Debbie McMartin on the show a while back. They're going to they're going to be coming back on the show in a couple of weeks. I've got that confirmed today, and they're going to give some updates regarding the movie. And we're going to find out what's going on there and talk more about Bigfoot in a couple of weeks. I want to try to break things up, get a little bit of more variety into the show. Tonight, it's pretty much open call. You guys want to call in, we can talk about whatever I want to talk about, as long as it's paranormal. We can talk about it. I'm sorry, I'm getting messages at the same time. I'm the kind of person that can't type and talk at the same time, or I'll say what I'm typing or type what I'm saying. Excuse me. As I was saying, you guys can call in. Anything you want to talk about paranormal, any question at all that you have, any experience that you've had, call in. I'm going to have Jason on. From the conversation I've had with him, he delves into a little bit of everything the same as me. And we're going to try to keep things rolling. I'm sorry. These things you can't really you can't really predict, and it kind of throws things out of loop. I like to have things to where I know what's going on and how it's going on. I'm not a big fan of surprises. But that's life. It happens. If you guys would call in, we'll discuss everything and anything that we can. So that being said, I'm going to bring Jason online, and we'll get together with him. Hello, Jason.
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, it's going. I don't know how, but it's going.
It always finds a way to go. We're just not sure which way to go. I'm all right. No, all right. The weather's a bit chilly, so, you know, we're kind of back to colder weather, but it's going.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I've been trying to get over this nasty cold and this and that. And I've got 50 million people texting me left and right and messaging me left and right, this and that. So fill me in a little bit, Jason, if you will, on your background. And I don't know if you heard the opening of the show. You know, I usually have a co-host with me. I apologize. They had something come up, and they weren't able. They had to cancel for tonight.
Yeah. I hope that, you know, she gets better, but, you know, it happens. You know, everyone gets sick sometimes, so you can't really control that. So I give her my blessings. How I came up to being who I am, I guess you can say. That could take some time, man. But it's all good. Yeah, well, anyway, the book I just published is about pretty much all what got me into the paranormal, and I can kind of brief you up on it. It's no big deal. Basically, back in 1991, I was like 14, 15 years old, that era. Now, I was just starting high school. My parents, we got this place out in the middle of nowhere, right outside of town. And, you know, it was like 2 or 3 weeks after we moved in. You know, I started to witness some weird things, you know, nothing major, you know, some footsteps, minor footsteps here and there. And we had this, I'm guessing at one time this room was like a cafeteria or, you know, a dining room type of area, but my parents turned it into a game room. And we had a pool table in there and a dartboard, and I had some, you know, bookshelves built into the wall and stuff, and we had some books up in there, and one particular book just kept falling off onto the pool table. I'm like, what the hell? This ain't cool. And I kept putting it on and so forth and so on. And that kind of sparked my interest on the paranormal and kind of got me going on researching, I guess you could say, because I was curious what was happening and why it was happening, so I started investigating, I guess, myself back then.
Right.
Needless to say, I'm going back a long time ago. You know, the technology and you know, the basic gear that we would typically use was pretty limited, and even the things that you know, I used back then, I kind of stumbled upon accidentally, I guess you can say, which is kind of how I came up with the magnetic, you know, dealing with magnetic pools and different types of radiation when I was a much younger kid, going back even that far.
Well,
the Boy Scouts.
I'm sorry. Do you, as far as what you do, do you modify equipment for paranormal investigation?
I have modified some equipment to make it, I guess, more suitable for myself and whatever devices I do use. You know, I've changed over cameras to, you know, make them in the full spectrum or IR, and, you know, I've modified EMF meters to make them a bit more sensitive. I've made my own illuminators. I've built my own EMF meters.
I'll tell you, I've done a lot of stuff with technology. I will definitely be utilizing your skills and picking your brain here in the next few weeks, because I need some of that done. So
okay.
I'll definitely be hitting you up as far as that goes, in private, of course, not here on the radio. Right now, my substitute co-host, Jennifer, she called in. I'm going to bring her on, if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello?
Jen?
Hi.
Hey, hon.
How are you?
I'm all right. We've got Jason Stanton on excuse me, on air with me. And, guys, I apologize for the coughing. Like I said, I'm still getting over all the sinus crap.
Oh, that's okay. It's going around. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
Excellent.
So I apologize, Jason. Please continue if you would.
Oh, well, I don't know if you heard the beginning of that, but, you know, back when I was even younger than when that story took place, I was a Boy Scout. And, well, if people know me, will probably kind of laugh at that because you couldn't expect me to be in a Boy Scout at all. But I was.
I was never a Boy Scout, but I ate a brownie once.
I got kicked out for eating a brownie. They frown upon that.
we're not going to elaborate on any of that, guys.
That's all good.
Take it how
That's
you
all
want.
Good. Well, anyway, back at that time, you know, when you're a Boy Scout, you learn how to, you know, use compasses, tie knots, so forth and so on. A knot's going to come in handy, but for some odd reason, I found the compass attractive. I liked it. I don't know why. Maybe because it was always going to point you a way out of trouble, and I wasn't exactly the most liked kid growing up. You know, I was kind of bullied a lot. But
hopefully you're into females now.
Yeah. I do love females. I don't like brownies anymore, but, you know.
You said when you were a youth you found a compass attractive. So
it attracted me. I liked it. I just, you know, it gave me comfort somehow in a society that, you know, I really didn't fit into. So, you know, I always had my compass on me, and I always kind of looked at it and stared at it. And, you know, as time went on, I started to find more of the darker side of life more fun and entertaining, I guess you can say. Not that I was casting spells or putting, you know, pentagrams all over the place. I wasn't doing that stuff. But, you know, I just found my own kind of peace within cemeteries and, you know, old buildings, so forth and so on. Not that I even believed in ghosts at that time. I just liked doing it. I don't know why. Maybe I like reading the headstones, or maybe it was just, you know, that little feeling of security. I have no idea. But, well, anyway, so one day I'm walking around with this compass, and, you know, I'm just checking out the headstones, reading them, or whatever the case is, and the compass started to kind of, it turned. You know, it got thrown off its pull and you know, started to point in opposite direction. And, that's kind of how I stumbled upon the whole magnetic theory that, you know, these entities might, you know, obtain and utilize and, you know, this magnetic pull that the Earth throws off. And, you know, you get into more research and, you know, you find out, you know, what affects the magnetic pull of the Earth and, you know, things that can be affected with magnetic pull of the Earth. And, you know, electric current is, you know, pretty much, well, the main ingredient in electric current is some kind of magnetic pull. So, I mean, you kind of branch off of that.
And now you're utilizing this in the paranormal field, correct?
Yeah, I'll still use some of the more basic gadgets that you see, you know, the K2 meters, the millimeters, but I always still have my compass with me. It's not, basically because it's not going to lie to me, you know what I mean? It's not designed to, you know, completely go haywire off a, you know, microwave or, you know, some kind of bad light fixture or something like that. So, I mean, it's not going to lie to me. So that's why I like it a lot more than, you know, a lot of the K2 meters and the millimeters and tri-field meters and all the other.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So you're telling me that you actually take your compass with you when you go paranormal investigating and use that.
I got you.
I'm on track now. I'm sorry.
I've heard of that, yeah. You know, people using that.
It's
how about divining rods? Aren't they based on, like, magnetic properties in the Earth?
There are, I mean, even a lot of the minerals that people use for protection, such as crystals and so forth and so on, they have the capabilities of conducting a high electrical voltage, which will throw off a magnetic pull. I mean, it all can coincide with one another, you know, with the minerals and entities and so forth and so on. It all works into entwines, I guess you can say.
Right. Because I know a few people who use the divining rods in ghost hunting, and, I mean, it's interesting, but, you know, I just didn't know how reliable they are and, you know, that kind of thing.
Jason, now that you explain it, Because in Facebook, whenever you told me, you know, the whole magnet thing, I'm like, what is he talking about? I'm not quite sure what he's talking about. However, now that you explain it, it makes sense. I mean, I think I'm going to go out and pick me up a compass as well.
I would definitely recommend it. And, you know, like I said, if you go ahead and do it, just be experimental with it. And you know, like I said, it's not going to lie to you. It's not like a K2 meter. You can bring a K2 meter in and you get a text message and all of a sudden it's going haywire, or you go up next to some kind of bad wiring and
the K2
meter goes haywire. You know what I mean? A compass isn't designed to pick up that sort of thing. It's mainly just designed for the magnetic pull. And, it does prove to be effective. I mean, like I said, we've been using magnetic pull with paranormal investigating for a long time. It's just we don't think about it that way, you know, with the minerals and even dowsing rods. If you've used dowsing rods, that's basically how they work. It's the magnetic energy within the atmosphere that, you know, magnetizes the rods and brings them close together.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, before I started off, you know, with Jennifer, before we started off this group, this team, I was involved with another team. I won't give them the satisfaction of mentioning their name, but I was an analyst for them, and a lot of times I would analyze the videos with the K2 meters and everything like that, and I didn't want to use that or post that because there's so many things that could alter that and affect the results. However, they were determined to go ahead and post every little noise and every little thing. But me personally, I don't, and that's what we do with our team. We're not going to post any little cricket sound or anything that we get on the EVP and say, oh, this is a ghost, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. We don't need our ego stroked in that way, you know? If we're not at least 80% certain that what we have is paranormal or ghosts, we're not going to put it out there.
I agree with you 100%. I have a rule of three. Most people use it with cameras and photos and so forth and so on, but I do that with investigating as well. I don't want one piece of evidence to support any kind of, you know, other evidence. I want three pieces of evidence to support that same thing. For example, if I am wandering around with a K2 meter, millimeter, so forth and so on, and I get a K2 blip, I want to see other things happening as well. I just don't want to see that K2 blip. You know, I want a picture. I want an EVP. I want something else to suggest that, that is possible, a true paranormal encounter.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. And Jennifer and I have talked about this numerous times. You know, we're not just going to – and you've seen it happen too, Jason, I'm sure. You know, these teams who they get in their head, oh, we're going to be big celebrities. We want to be on television, you know. We want to be – Zach Baggins and them, you know, and it's no offense towards Zach, you know, Zach's a great guy, but you know,
he's a horrible actor.
I'm sorry, what?
Zach's a horrible actor.
I know. I was trying to be polite. You know, you never know who's listening. You know, sorry, President Obama, for everything that goes on the show. If you're listening, anyway, you know, you see these teams who want to, yeah, they have the TV stuff in their head, and they want to go there, and they want to be famous and all this and that. So they'll go out, and, I mean, I've seen some whacked-out crap get posted. I mean, pictures of tree bushes, pictures of tree bushes, that's a contradiction, tree branches, excuse me, bushes, just things that you can look at. If you look at the whole picture, you can see, well, that's what that is, you know. But they crop these pictures down and only show you what they want to show you, which is basically like anything they can find that either looks like a face or you know, and it's all for their fans to go. And there are all these fans who are just all ate up with it. They're like, ooh, I see it, I see it. Come on, you know. And
I agree. Again, I have a major rule of thumb when it comes to, you know, evidence review. If you got to draw a circle around it and blow it up and, you know, tilt your head sideways and raise your leg left up in the air, it's not evidence. I'm sorry. Get rid of it. I mean, It's either there or it's not there. Don't try to see something that's there. Don't even attempt it. It's either you can see it or you can't see it.
That's exactly where we are. And Jennifer and I have discussed this. Melissa and I have discussed this. Marjorie, who is, I guess, the private party behind everything, it discussed the exact same thing.
Yeah.
If we have to sit there and look at an image with a magnifying glass, then, you know, we're not going to put it. You know,
no, it's not worth it.
It's just like you said. Now you are into you're into all things paranormal, correct?
But say that again.
I said you're not just strictly ghosts. You know, you and I talked, and you said that you delve a little bit into all of the
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm nowhere near an expert on, you know, cryptozoology or you know, UFOlogy. I don't even know how the hell that one even came out, but
yeah.
Hey, it's there. But I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I've got no problems investigating it. I mean, a lot of it I don't think is real, don't get me wrong, but in the same token, I go and look for ghosts, you know what I mean? So I really can't say too much.
Right. See, my thing is... I've never seen anything in my lifetime that makes me 100% say that was a ghost. Do I believe that they exist? Yes, I do. Have I seen something that makes me believe that or makes me say, hey, that was definitely a ghost? No, I haven't. You know, you got these certain people who start up teams, and they start up teams because they have had a paranormal experience with a ghost or whatever. In my case, I'm doing it because I haven't, and I want to. You know, I want to know that knowledge.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You don't just strictly need an experience to get involved with the paranormal. You just need a curiosity and I guess, knowledge. As you said before, a lot of people are now just watching TV, and they're saying, oh, we can do that. So they go online, and they buy, you know, $1,000 worth of equipment, and they go out there and they're ghost hunters, you know what I mean?
Yep.
No, it doesn't work that way. You definitely need the knowledge. You got to pick up a book. You got to, you know, ask other seasoned investigators that's been in the field for a long time on what kind of information they may have. You know, you've got to, you know, I don't want to say take lessons, because that's kind of a bad term of saying it. We don't really know what we're researching or how we're even researching it. We just know there's something there. But a lot of people have stumbled upon a lot of different tactics and techniques that have been extremely effective in the community. You just don't want to stick with ghosts either, things that you can see. I mean, you also have to kind of research human behavior as well, because, I mean, if in fact the theory is that we're investigating dead people, then, dead people start off with, you know, something. It starts somewhere, and it starts off with human, which is basically where parapsychology comes in. Needless to say, I really don't research parapsychology. I research, you know, more human behavior more than anything. But, I mean, there is, evidence that suggests, you know, telekinesis and ESP and so forth and so on. But, you know, I'm more into the more subconscious mind. That's where it becomes a bit more fascinating. Things that, you know, we think about that we don't know. You know what I mean? It's just that part of your brain that reacts and does things without even your knowledge of it. And it's kind of weird thinking about it like that, but it's true. There's a science theory now that I'm with real scientists, not even investigators, scientists, that, you know, when you're in your deep sleep, subconsciously, you're bouncing in and out of different dimensions. Maybe, just maybe, this is what ghosts are. This is that parallel universe that, you know, ghost hunters are researching. It's quite possible. I mean, and if you sit down and think about it, you very much well, while you're in that deep sleep, could have another family someplace else that you don't even know about. You know, you could be a female, or you could be a male, you could be a dog, who the hell knows? I mean, the possibilities are endless, but it's pretty accurate as far as, you know, what scientists have been saying, that, you know, this is what's happening.
That's right. I mean, that's very, very interesting you say that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jennifer. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no. I'm just listening.
taking it in?
Start talking. Excuse me. Now I said I've never had a experience with a ghost. Now I've had things out of the corner of my eyes, but I can't completely on a stack of Bibles swear, okay, that was paranormal or that was a ghost. You know, I just chalked it up to, okay, maybe, you know, it's just my eyes, you know, the light, you know, the fact that I'm watching the television or something like that. However, I have had lots of experiences with the Sasquatch. And I love that. I love I'm tongue-tied. I love searching for Sasquatch. I want to get that same enjoyment out of going out there and searching for the paranormal in any aspects of ghosts and spirits. As of yet, I haven't reached that level, but I hope to. I hope to get more people involved in it and share that experience with them. You know, because let's face it, nobody wants to go to a haunted location by themselves.
Yeah. No one wants to investigate by themselves.
I'll go out in the woods at night by myself looking for Sasquatch, no problem. But with ghosts, you never know what could happen. You know. There's a risk of possession. You know, I don't fear Sasquatch. There's a different level there, and there's a lot of reasons why I don't fear it. And I won't go into that. We had a 3-week Sasquatch episode. We'll have another one here pretty soon. But as far as ghosts, that's a little bit more, in my opinion, a little bit more unfamiliar territory, if you will, because you have everything from possession to scratches to things that, I mean, you really have some things that you can't see coming, if you will, that could happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, if I may. Going back to what you said about nobody wants to go, you know, investigating by themselves, I mean, I would love to. But, I mean, my thoughts on that is it's good to have a smaller group of people together. That way, if something does happen, you can also corroborate, you know, the stories to see.
That's true.
You know, it's always good to have another set of eyes, and that way, you know, like if you see something in the dark, you could say, hey, does anybody else see that? You know, and that way you'll know more or less if you have something there or not. You know?
Good answer. Sorry, I had a Family Feud flashback. But, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's...
Also, like I said, I wouldn't mind being stuck in a location for a couple hours by myself, because I find the less people you have, the more they're willing to interact. You know, I've been on these big, the GAC events and things. You know, we have 100, 200 people, and they split us up into these big groups. Well, my thoughts are they're intimidated, you know, by all these people. So they're going to just kind of sit in the background and not really interact. And then I find, you know, if it's just me and a couple of friends hanging out somewhere, you know, you just sit and you listen. Nobody's talking. You know, you get to use your senses to really, you know what I mean, interact with them. And so that's my findings with that, with people and the amount.
Well, you know, just like, I mean, yeah, I'll go out there in the woods at night, searching for Sasquatch, but is it wise? No, probably not, because anything could happen. I could fall, break my leg, and be stuck out there. You know, I can be in an area which happens more times than not, be in an area with no service, you know, phone service. So, you know, a lot of things can happen. So, yeah, it's probably not best to do it. but, you know, what can you do? You know, I want to be out there. I want to be investigating. I love doing it. It's hard to get anyone else locked down to, you know, at this point in time, I'm sure in time it'll you know, they'll be coming out the woodworks, but at this particular point in time, as far as UFO, I seen one when I was much younger. Again, I would love to, but you know, you look at UFOs is a little bit different. You can't just go out to an area and say, okay, I'm going to try to find a UFO, you know?
Well, you definitely got to take safety as a major precaution, and I always stress that out. One of my biggest concerns, no matter what I'm doing, is always safety. I mean, yeah, I can go ahead and walk around a building and feel 100% comfortable alone without an issue. However, I like to have another person. Why? Because you could slip and fall, sprain your ankle, break a leg, whatever the case may be. You're going to need someone to help you limp yourself out to the door. So, I mean, safety is an issue, not even paranormal related or whatever the case is. And the same thing can go if you're in the woods looking for a Sasquatch or, you know, the Chupacabra or the Mothman, whatever it is, whatever your flavor is, it don't matter. I mean, a tree limb can fall, hit you in the head. You could be walking around in territory that you're not 100% sure of and slip down an embankment or whatever the case may be.
That's right.
It just doesn't have to be with, you know, what you're looking for.
We've got someone in our chat room who wants to know what your opinion of Sasquatch is.
Yeah, that's Dennis right there, boy. Yeah. I'm not big on Sasquatch. I have gone out with a friend of mine looking for Sasquatch, but personally, I just don't see enough evidence to support the idea. So I don't think he exists. However, you know, it's more power to someone if you want to go out there and look for it.
You're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. You could have told me that before you came on. No, I'm joking, of course. You know, I personally have seen it twice. In fact, just a couple of weeks ago, Melissa, who is a co-host, her and I had something roar at us in the middle of the woods at night. And we believe it to be one. But you know, it's kind of the same. I don't try to persuade anyone. I don't sit here and fault anyone for what they believe, because it's kind of the same for you with Sasquatch as it is for me with ghosts. You know, I haven't seen anything that definitively says, "Hey, this is a ghost." And I'm sure it's the same for you with Sasquatch. You know. Jason, we're having some audio difficulty from you.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, much better.
All right. I don't try to persuade anyone to believe in ghosts. That's not my opinion. The only thing I can do is provide the evidence, and everything else is up to, you know, whoever looks at it. If you want to, you know, subject that and say, yeah, that's good or not good, that's your opinion and your thought. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to get angry. I mean, it is what it is. Personally, I have the experience, so I know firsthand. And the same thing goes with Sasquatch. The thing with Sasquatch is, I mean, like I said, there's just not enough evidence out there to support it. And that's just my opinion. I will go out on a Sasquatch hunt. I have no problems doing that. And I'll give it 110%. 110%. I just personally know inside of my head I'm wasting my time. Well, I believe I'm wasting my time, I should say. But I've got no problem. I hope the Sasquatch people do find a Sasquatch, and prove me wrong. I would really love to see that.
Right.
But I just don't think it exists.
Well, for one, you know, I've seen and heard. I know they exist. How can I put this? I know that if you were to see one, that's all it would take. You know, or for example, I could take you out in the woods with me for a week, and I guarantee you, you feel differently afterwards. I probably would
feel differently. I mean, I did have one weird experience, but not. I don't know if it was a Sasquatch or anything. I can't say that. But I live in New York, north of the city, and the area that I live at actually has a lot of Sasquatch encounters. And I remember one time I was sitting out on my porch, and in the woods, whatever it was, just started leveling trees. I don't know what it was. Couldn't tell you. I have no idea. But even now, I mean, could it be a Sasquatch? It could, but I don't think it was. It could have been a bear, too. It could have as easily been a bear. It could have been, you know, a buck running down with his horns down because it was, you know, fall time at that time, so they were going into the rut. So, I mean, there's a lot of other variables I can sit down and say, yeah, it could have been something else.
Well, I mean, honestly, the only way that you're going to have an encounter, man, you just got to get out there at night. That's the only thing I could tell you, you know. You just got to get out there in the middle of the night and listen and be observant, you know, as observant as you can in the dark, you know.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I like the glass. I like the woods. I like going out camping. Personally, I like the woods. I like going out camping. I like, you know, all that nature stuff. So, I mean, myself, you could throw me in the woods, and I'm perfectly fine, and I'm capable of doing it without an issue.
Right, right.
And to go and, you know, to go look for, you know, Sasquatch for a week if I had to, I mean, like I said, I don't think I'd find anything. But, hey, I still have a blast doing it because, again, I'm still in my comfort zone. You know, I'm camping as far as I'm concerned. But it would be interesting to actually, you know, see good evidence of a Sasquatch or, you know, experience one firsthand. If I'm in the woods and something that big came up, I mean, yeah, I have no idea what I'd do. I'd probably just keel over and say, damn, man, that's one big thing standing there. But, you know, who knows?
Chances are you'll get more audio than anything, you know, as far as evidence, you know. The odds of actually seeing one, especially during the day, are slim. And, I mean, you know damn well how difficult it is to see at night, you know, especially out in the woods. So, you know, it's a game of chance, just like, you know, investigating ghosts. I don't fault you for what you believe. I mean, nobody's perfect, you know.
No one's perfect. So good.
But I'd love to, I mean, you know, if you ever get, you know, down south around Mississippi or whatever, let me know, because I'd love to take you and show you some areas and, you know, let you experience some of the things that I have experienced out there in the woods.
I would love to. And I hope I do have the opportunity to experience that.
Yeah. Now, you're in New York. Where are you in relation to, say, Rochester?
Rochester? Rochester is way the hell upstate. Rochester is almost by Canada.
Right.
I'm closer to the city, you know. I'm like 70 miles outside of the city.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there is a place in New York, I can't remember that actual name of it, but they're supposed to have a history of Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah, that's the Bastard Kill area, the Catskill Mountain region. That's basically where I live at. I live right along the Catskill Mountains, right in the Bastard Kill area. I'm right. What?
Right. I said, you're in a perfect area.
Yeah, the whole area is, you know, it's all woods. It's all state protected. However,
I remember it was Whitehall.
Yeah,
it was what? Whitehall, New York.
It was what? Whitehall?
Whitehall.
Oh, Whitehall.
Yeah, Whitehall, New York, is the area that I'm thinking of. It's supposed to be they have a history of Sasquatch, and it's supposed to be a hot spot.
I don't know where that is. I'd have to look that up. I've never even heard of Whitehall. But
I'll send you the information that I can find on it.
I know there's Whitehall, Pennsylvania.
But anyway, enough of Sasquatch, because you're a non-believer. But let's get back on to the ghosts and the paranormal. Now, have you had any significant encounters or experiences as far as ghosts go yourself?
Significant encounter?
Yeah, I mean something that you could, or anything that's really weird.
Oh, I can story with you. About a year ago, 2 years ago, I would say, probably between a year and two, somewhere in that neighborhood. There's this old farmhouse out in Jersey that I investigate quite frequently. And I'm always in there, and I always investigate it, and mainly because it's kind of weird every time you go in there. It's a totally different environment, totally different spirits in there. Why? I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. Well, anyway, there was one incident, and it was me and, you know, a couple of my other investigators, and I brought in a rookie investigator with me as well. And, anyway, I did something that I should have never did, and I knew I should have never did it because I've always told people not to do it. Don't do it. Safety reasons first, but, you know. But I did it anyway. Why? I have no idea. I was just an idiot at the time. I said, you know, if you don't have enough energy, you could take some of mine. No big deal. You know, just have a little bit. Make yourself whatever. And then, you know, like a minute later, I started to get, like, extremely sick. Extremely sick. For whatever reason, I have no idea at that time. I was like, man, I don't feel right. Well, anyway, before I started to get sick, my buddy, my one investigator, looked and said, man, there's something standing in the doorway. And then, you know, I wound up getting sick. But we went home and we were listening to the audio. And again, it was a chain of events that occurred at that time. You know, you hear me say that, you know, you can use some of my energy, and then you hear footsteps running up the stairs. You hear my buddy say, there's something standing in the hallway, and then all of a sudden I get sick. Yeah, that was pretty significant. You know, I had to get out of the building. It does happen, people. I don't want to freak anyone out. You do wind up getting a little bit nauseous. I'm not saying it's any kind of possession. You know, you're getting attacked or whatever the case may be. It's just what happens when, you know, your energy is being taken for whatever reason. You know, you just start to feel nauseous, you start to feel weak. And when that happens, you know, like I said, you know, you just get out of the building, have a snack, have some water, sit down, relax, and, you know, continue on from there.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, Jennifer, she's a member of our team. She lives in Pennsylvania, so she's like our Pennsylvania representative. And Jennifer, you got some things coming up as far as investigations go also, right?
Yes. I am going to the History Paracon in New York next month. And there's going to be a lot of guest celebrities. Amy and Steve from The Dead Files, a couple people from Ghost Hunters International, Jeff Mudge, who wrote a book, Bloodstains, just a bunch of people. And I'm looking forward to meeting them and working with them, and we're going to investigate for Fort William Henry. I don't know if you know where that is.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
I've been there a few times.
Did you have any encounters there?
Fort William Henry is pretty interesting. It's not a bad building. It those places where you expect a lot more than what you're going to get. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people do wind up getting disappointed over the place. However, you do wind up, I mean, something normally does happen. It's not to the extent of the stories that you'll hear when you go there and so forth and so on.
Okay. Is it more noises,
when I got
physical?
There, I've gotten a few EVPs. When I was there, I've gotten a couple of EVPs. You know, I've heard a couple of noises. That was it. You know, I've never gotten any, you know, audio or visual out of there.
And nothing physical, like people getting touched, things thrown, anything like that?
That never happened to me in that place.
Is it small? It sounds like
it's a decent size location. It's not bad. I mean, you could split up into good size groups and you'll be okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, but I mean, it'll be fun, you know, just to meet some new people. I mean, because we've met Zach and Chris Fleming and Jeff Bellinger and all them. I mean, we've met them tons of times, and it'll be nice just to be around a new group of people and kind of network.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would love to get
Amy Allen, you know, on the show for an interview too one day. But because also I feel like I'm a sensitive, so I also want to talk to her about, you know, her feelings on that. But and also me and a friend are looking to go to Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
I've never been there. I want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to go there. I've never been there though.
Well, if you want to go with us, you know, get my information from Brian.
Jennifer's been to all these awesome locations that I would just love to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And her and I, we're actually planning on going down to Duff Green Mansion, which is in Vicksburg, Mississippi, hopefully sometime this summer, I believe, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to any of the? I'm sorry. Have you been to any of the bigger locations?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to quite a few. I've been to, you know, I've experienced Pennhurst. I've been to Rolling Hills Asylum. I was actually in Rolling Hills Asylum before it was even popular, which is kind of cool. I've been to Eastern State. You know, I've been to a lot of the bigger locations.
See, you guys suck. I'm telling you, man. I mean, those are all locations that I want to get to.
We're actually gullible. Don't put it that way. And I'll tell you why we're gullible. They hype these places up so bad. You're going to get this, you're going to get that. And you go there, you spend all this freaking money, and you wind up with one EVP that's questionable because, you know, there's 20 other people around you.
Many times.
See, I suspected all that as well, you know.
And even Rolling Hills Asylum. I know Rolling Hills Asylum now, they actually have it staged so that you do wind up getting evidence.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I tried two years ago. I had a slight interaction with Rolling Hills here soon. Didn't really... You know, it didn't really pan out like it should have. You know, I would have thought those people would have been more interested in some of the things that I was doing and offering, but they just, I don't know. But
a lot of those bigger places, it's all about money to them. They don't care about the research. They don't care about anyone else. As long as they're getting the fat paycheck, they're happy. They sit down and say, oh, we're using the money to rebuild these places, to so forth and so on, to restore them. You can go into them for the past 5 years and nothing's done. They all look the same that they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. See, they had this contest a while back to design a new graphic logo representing them. And, you know, I got in contact with the lady and talked and everything. She's all for it. And as far as I know, I was like the only one that turned in the design. And never got any kind of respond back from it or anything, you know. So as far as I know, they could be using my design without, you know, any kind of recognition.
Yeah.
It's like, the whole thing was just kind of shady to me. But I understand what you're saying, that these places, they get, you know, they see the revenue that they can get off of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, so they,
what's that is, this is actually what really pisses me off about that whole issue. In another 5 years, when the paranormal community starts dying down and all the gleam leaves and the fad starts to go, they're going to sell it to some investor. They're going to rip it down and put up some kind of, you know, low-income housing.
Yeah, and then they're going to claim, hey, this place is haunted, and it's going to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think the only place that's actually using the money is Waverly Hills, because they're trying to turn that into, like, a five-star hotel.
Well, that's exactly what you said a while ago, Jason, is the exact same thing I say to these teams who think they're going to be celebrities. Like, first of all, you're just starting out, and by the time you reach celebrity status, the fad's going to be gone.
It's going to. It's dropping now. All the TV shows are starting to.
You know, we're getting it shoved down our throats left and right, and eventually people are going to get sick of it, and it's like, oh, God, another paranormal show. You know, it's not going to work. You know, you should do it for the love of doing it.
It's not working now. The shows now are dropping. The ratings are going down the tubes quickly.
Right.
I mean, it's outrageous.
You there?
I'm here.
I had to go on mute because I'm walking in front of a television. I don't want to come through over the air.
Okay. I mean, the radio shows are doing normal. I mean, they haven't really changed too much, but as far as the television shows, they're going down the tubes. I mean, Ghost Adventures, they're going down. Ghost Hunters are going down. All the other ones are going down. I mean, Paranormal State isn't even on the air no more. I think they canceled already. I believe they're just doing reruns, if I'm not mistaken. School Night Spirits, they're canceled. Destination Truth hasn't been on the air.
Well, Josh is coming back with a new show. I know that. Here pretty soon. As far as Ghost Hunters go, they've been going downhill for a while. They're not the same as what they were. Excuse me. When they first started.
5 years ago. 5 years ago, they were at the peak of their career, and then you know, and a lot of people blame it on Grant leaving. It has nothing to do. They were going down before Grant leaving. About a year before Grant leaving, their ratings started dropping.
In my opinion, Grant was one of the fakest ones on there. You know, so seeing him go didn't bother me. I think what did it for me is they went from helping people and going to residentials to only doing these big name places, and it got more commercialized, if you understand what I'm saying.
And that was the purpose of them of going to them big places, because they called her up and said, look, I need to make a paycheck. Can you please come in here and say this place is haunted?
Yeah.
That's how it was. You know what I mean? It had nothing to do with helping anybody or anything like that.
They wanted to, you know, make money off of suckers like all these little places.
There. And so they call in some TV place. You know, they pay them $1,000 to come in and shoot and say, fake as much crap as you want. So they fake their evidence. They show it. And then people say, wow, that's cool. I got to go there. And that's how it works.
Yeah, it's all been commercialized. I think the name of Josh's show that he's going to be coming out with is called Expedition Unknown on Travel Channel. That's going to be his new show. As far as, you know, like Ghost Adventures, I think what has made them so popular and run so long is the whole dramatics of it with Zach, you know.
The acting. It's the acting. Zach, I mean, when they first started off for the first, even up until now, I guess ever since they started, Zach's always getting possessed. Aaron is always acting like a little pussy. And Nick is just like, dude, what's up? He's like the stoner of the bunch, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
All the way it works.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, you can watch the show. Well, I can anyway. I can watch the show and I can tell what's been staged, what's been rehearsed, what's been, you know, pretty much set up. Because, I mean, come on, let's be honest, man. You know, if they go in there and do what we know really goes on, that they don't get anything every week, they wouldn't have a television show anymore. You know?
They wouldn't make a paycheck.
They'd
have to work at McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah, it's like this show that I watch called Mountain Monsters. It's a good show. It's a good show. It's interesting. I think the guys are cool. They're fun. But if they expect me to believe that every time they go out in the woods, they get some kind of roar or some kind of response from something that they just so happen to be looking for, then, you know, come on, you know? But it's good. It's good entertainment. Jason, you're cutting it out again on the audio. You keep cutting in and out.
Weird. I'm a lot.
Does it sound muffled?
Yeah, it sounds really muffled. Yeah, it keeps sounding really muffled here and there.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's a lot better, man. We actually have a caller on the line. This is Dennis. Hey, Dennis.
Yes?
Hey, man. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
Not a problem. This can get very entertaining, or it can go really bad. I'm not sure which will happen. But here's my thought. All right. I've spoken with, now I won't plug my radio program, but I've spoken with a lot of the guys that do the other programs, the TV
right.
programs. Most of the problem is they go in, they do any investigation, they have no control over what production does.
So, and how it's edited.
You know, yeah, and how, well, that's all on the production company. So, you know, ABC douchebag company does the editing and everything. And the actors, the principal role people get to watch it at the same time that the general public gets to watch it. So they don't have much control over it. You know?
Right.
If, like when Jack acts like a complete douche, you know, they're going to show that five times versus, well, it only happened one time.
Yeah.
But that's what makes the ratings good.
They sensationalize it.
Well, sure. The Conjuring. I'm sure everybody's heard about the movie The Conjuring.
Yeah, I've had Andrea Perone on my show.
Okay, well, I'm actually very good friends with Michael Carroll, who actually did the investigation in that location before Ed and Lorraine did it. And it was nothing compared to what they and Hollywood sensationalized that location to be. It's kind of amazing to me. Hollywood has its own thing. They're after the mighty dollar, which I don't understand in today's society why you would be after the mighty dollar other than the fact that it pays for everything. So,
well, this country is not
realism. Oh, yeah. They don't give a shit about realism. They don't give a shit about realistic. They don't give a shit
right.
about truth.
Yeah,
they
it kind of gives
a shit
it,
about
oh,
what
yeah.
lines their wallet.
Mm-hmm. Gives what we do kind of like a false impression, you know, of
yeah.
what we do, what we look for, and, you know.
Yeah. Now, well, let me ask you this. How damn long do you think it would air? If you showed an 8-hour investigation, now keep in mind, you have to knock everything down to, if you have a 1-hour show, you actually only have 27 minutes of airtime. Because commercials eat up the rest of them. So how long do you think we would have to sit there to get 27 minutes worth of entertaining anything
yeah.
on a typical investigation? Now, and, you know, you mentioned mountain monsters and, you know, Squatch Hunters and all that.
Yeah.
How long would you have to spend out in the woods before you got 27 minutes of worthwhile anything other than a camera following some dude walking through the woods?
Oh, that's true. That's exactly true. And
well,
I'm sure it would be...
I mean, they're filming for, you know, 5 days at a time. The production company, I mean, yeah, they're going to cut it up and edit it and do whatever they can and ensure that they get, you know, the viewers that, you know, they need to continue to make their profit. But, I mean... The team itself, you know, if you're talking about ghost hunters or whatever the case may be, the ghost hunters do have the power to say, I quit. This isn't what I'm all about. This isn't what I'm a researcher for. I'm here to help people, and you're messing up my whole, you know, thing.
Depending on their contract.
I have to disagree. Exactly. And, Brian, that's exactly what it boils down to. And, Jason, I'll tell you, listen to Full Spectrum Radio next Wednesday. I know, that was a little shameless plug. I actually have Brad Kleem coming on with us, and he's going to talk about what they went through.
Yeah.
You remember Brad Kleem from the Kleem Brothers? And
Yeah, I had Brad on. I've had Brad on. Brad's awesome. They actually stopped because of the production company, and they started their own thing on the Internet. They're great guys. I love the Kling brothers. I had them on my show before. Wonderful people. But, I mean, he's got the same story. He'll tell you the same thing. I mean, the production company is going to crop it up and do whatever they can to get the ratings that's necessary. They're going to take, you know, 5 days' worth of footage and turn it into an hour show. And out of that 5 days, you know, yeah, they're going to, you know, try to show, you know, the most impressive pieces of evidence. And if there isn't any impressive evidence in that time, then, yeah, they're going to throw their own crap in there. Brad will tell you that, which is why he quit working with the network. He didn't want to do that. He said, that's it. This isn't what I'm all about. I came in here to help people, and you're making a mockery of me. So, I mean, now he's got his own show. They got their own show. It's an internet-based radio show, I believe. And, you know, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the biggest factors of it that has stuck in my mind, he said there was nothing less that he can recall than 70 hours of filming to give you that 27 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, plus you have travel time that's unfilmed. You know, in 70 hours to give you less than half an hour of film or half an hour of TV time, you know, that's dedication. But I will give them kudos for a few facts, and that was the way that they actually estimated or investigated. You know, they went in with the lights on, you know. And his question when we had him on was, do you know why we went in with lights on and carried the little fluorescent lights? Have you ever had an investigation where the client said, it only happens at night when nobody's around?
No.
They don't know what's happening then.
Well, there's no time period.
During the daytime when somebody's there.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, and there's, Matt and I both love the
phenomena.
I'm sorry, Jason, say it again.
I said there's no specific time for paranormal phenomena, which actually I've been, you know, trying to get into with you know, the magnetic pull theory that I have going on of when Earth's atmosphere, when the planet itself is, you know, affected tremendously by, you know, some kind of magnetic pull. And well, quite frankly, we see evidence of that every day with, you know, the tides. You get a high tide, why, or a low tide, why? Because, you know, the moon is, you know, it's messing with the magnetic pull on the Earth. So, you know, it kind of gives me that average estimate of when it is affected. And if you think about it, you hear about, you know, these witching hours and, you know, paranormal activity happens most between this hour and so forth and so on. Well, that's typically when there's a high tide.
Yeah. Well, the
do
other
you
one
also
is,
monitor,
always,
Jason, do you also monitor the aurora borealis for your magnetic research?
No, right now I'm just still trying to, you know, get the evidence to continue to pursue the research.
Right.
Yeah, I've got a lot of data, you know what I mean? And I've based it around tie charts and, you know, different things like that, so forth and so on. But I'm trying to get more evidence and more things to support the idea before I continue to branch off.
Right. I understand that.
Well, you have to work on one theory and one possibility of time. If you start investigating everything at one time, you don't know what the different factors are. Which item disturbed this? Was it, you know, was it the magnetic pole? Was it high tide? Was it, you know, full moon? Was it, you know, the, I don't know.
But you also have to
storm.
You also have to corroborate the fact that you are getting paranormal activity at the same time as this magnetic activity.
Yeah. You know, that's basically what I'm trying to, I'm getting that evidence now. You know, like I said, I'm keeping track of these tide charts. I'm keeping track of, you know, different, you know, sizes in it. That way, you know, like I said, that the tides are affected by magnetic pull. So, I mean, yeah, I have found that that little pattern, that paranormal activity is a bit more heightened when, you know, that is affected. Which, I mean, like I said, it all correlates with, the witching hour and all this crap. I mean, typically that's when the high tide rolls in.
Now, wouldn't that be gravitational pull?
Yeah, it's all gravitational pull. That's basically what it is. That's how the tides work. It's all magnetic pull. It's all gravitational pull between, actually astrology and the Earth.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at you. My 4-year-old just walked in and she held her hand to her mouth like shh, like she knows she has to be quiet. But
yeah, that's awesome.
Well, you have to understand that the gravitational pull that's created by the moon is created by a magnetic change in our environment because of the close proximity.
Exactly.
Right,
so
exactly.
The magnetic and gravitational work together. So if
yeah.
you claim it as one, then you have to claim it as both.
Exactly. But the thing that I'm saying is, I need something to go by, and the only thing that I can go by is that magnetic pull. You know what I mean? That's something that I can visualize, I can see, we can all witness it day to day. We can't, just walk down the street and say, oh, magnetic pull is great right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
No,
well,
I need something.
That's why I asked about the Aurora Borealis, because that all plays into it.
Yeah, I mean, I could branch off and start doing that, but, like I said, I start collecting all this evidence and so forth and so on, and I got to categorize it somehow and try to fit it into which category that it goes to. Right now, I'm just trying to collect as much evidence that I can to continue to go further on that whole issue.
Well, here's the best way that I can explain this. There are so many different theories and so many possibilities in both fields, both the Squatch and the paranormal. So I'm going to put it to you both this way. If you have 50 sheep in the field and one of them keeps coming up and shitting in your boots, you have to narrow it down to one sheep at a time and watch that sheep to see
yeah.
what that sheep is doing.
Yeah.
As far as the paranormal and as far as Squatch and investigating, you have to have one thing that you pay attention to.
Yeah, yeah, and that's basically what I'm.
If you try to look at all 50 sheep at once, one of them's going to sneak behind you and shit in your boot, and you're still going to have no information and no evidence.
Exactly.
So you
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's why I'm trying. I've narrowed. I mean, that portion of my research down just on that. I'm only working with, collaborating enough evidence, and when I get enough evidence to suggest that, and I can say, all right, I'm comfortable, I can present this to people, then, yeah, I'll branch off and start working on, other collaborations of that sort of thing.
Right. Well, now, Dennis, is also a member of the EARN network, and he's a good friend of mine as well. Jason, I want to ask you.
Stop lying. The check hasn't cleared yet, so at this point we're associates. When the check clears, then I'll say we're good friends.
hey, if you need anything, all you got to do is hit me up and vice versa. That makes us friends. So, and we've never uh-huh. fought, so we're good.
There you go. I'm down with that, brother.
Jason, what all do you have going on besides the magnetic theories?
In reference towards what?
The paranormal.
Well, first off,
in general.
We don't even know exactly what we're researching, to be honest with you. I mean, is it dead people? It could be. Don't know. It could be travelers. It could be, as I said before, it could be subconscious mind, blinking in and out of different parallel universes. We don't know.
I mean,
we have no idea.
We've also had discussions on here before about could it possibly be aliens testing us? you know, some type of extraterrestrial interference. We don't know. You know, anything at this point is game.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, anything is possible. So, I mean, we just got to keep our, you know, when it comes to just, you know, paranormal in general, you know, the idea of ghosts, so forth and so on, we definitely got to keep a broad spectrum and you know, first off, we got to figure out how to test each and every single one of those high ideas and go from there.
Well, now, the trouble is there are so many hypotheses on what happens after death. Your soul is immediately sucked from Earth and sucked from your body, and you're shot straight to heaven, or, you know, you're standing before the pearly gates, or you go straight to hell. And there's so many hypotheses. Well, the trouble is nobody has been around long enough to tell us what the hell they actually experienced.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the moment that I died, this was what we have never heard that sentence. We've gotten what they consider near-death experiences, where I was on the table dead for, you know, 3 minutes, and I saw this bright light. Well, here's the trouble with that bright light. What did they use to bring your happy ass back when you have died on the table? Electricity.
Yeah.
And a lot of it. When they say that they hit you with 50 joules, you realize that's the equivalent to having 240 volts snapped into your chest instantaneously.
Yeah.
I guarantee you the brain synapses and the eyeballs and all the optical nerves and every nerve in your body, if you've ever actually watched somebody that gets hit with the paddles, their whole body goes rigid for a full second.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like
it's
not like they're going to be
firing.
It's not like they're going to be doing all this on you in the dark either. They're, you know, I mean, we've all seen the big lights that, you know, they hang over you.
Well, sadly,
so,
I've done it. I mean, I ran EMT for a while. I ran squad. I've been one of the people that was yelled at when they slammed the paddles on their chest and hollered clear.
Right.
So I've watched what the human body does at death. In the past 12 years, I've held 6 people in my hands while they died. Literally at that last moment when the heart just goes doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Yeah.
The brain synapses at that moment are still going.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because there's still blood pressure behind it. It takes about 3 minutes after the heart has finally stopped beating that everything else starts to shut down one at a time.
That's right.
Well, the trouble is the heart not only pushes blood through, there is an electrical factor that is involved. And when the nerves start shutting down, when those nerve synapses start canceling each other out, it's like arcing wires across each other. What is the first thing that you see? A bright flash. Well,
yeah.
Is that what it is right before everything just goes, yeah, fuck it, man, I'm just not going to live.
Well, you know, it also goes along with as far as what happens after death. I think, you know, a lot of people say the soul. I guess it depends on your definition of soul. I mean, we all know that we have energy within us. Yeah, that could be also described as a soul. Energy, it never truly dies.
That's exact. It's impossible. The biggest source of energy that we as humans know is a bolt of lightning. That is, well, they still haven't exactly categorized. It kind of depends. But it's about 250 million joules. And they say that they hit you with 50 joules in the paddles. Big deal. But if we can't harness 250 million joules of energy in one lightning bolt, you can alter it. You can move it. You can't destroy it.
That's right.
Energy is energy, and it's always around us. And it's a, it is a non-destroyable item. You know,
so,
when you,
you
play
know,
that, when you play that battlefield game or you know, knights and whatever, and you're playing that video game and you have that one weapon that just doesn't wear down, lightning is it. Energy
yeah.
is it.
Yeah, a movie that it's an older movie, but I loved it. I loved the actual message behind it was Powder. You know, the guy, his mother was hit by lightning while she was pregnant, and then he had these this ability, and the message behind that, you know, it's kind of where I lean to of the energy that we have within us. I guess, you know, what it all really boils down to is what each individual believes in, you know, as far as what happens after we die. You know, you could believe, okay, you know, we go to heaven or we go to hell, we're all reincarnated, recycled. We don't know, you know, and there's a lot of these questions that we will never know the answer to until we're actually dead.
Well, let's do this. Jason, how long have you been investigating the paranormal?
15, 16 years, 17 years, something like that.
Okay. And I'm going to get personal, but bear with me. There is a point to it.
It's about 9 inches, Dennis.
What's that?
About 9 inches.
I wasn't asking how many you really wished you had.
He's obviously talking about his compass.
Well, he said he was going to get personal. I just figured I'd share it.
Yeah, we're good with that. That's right. You'll hit puberty one day, and it'll grow up to be a big man's penis. Oh, how nice. It's like a penis, only smaller.
Yeah, 9 inches. Is that it?
Now, what I was going to ask was, what is your religious background?
This background? I really don't have one. I'm open to the idea. Don't get me wrong. I don't like organized religion. I do not like.
Well,
so,
I'm 100% with you on that. Even my dog tag said no religious preference. If I were shot and dying in the battlefield, my answer to them was, I don't give a shit who gives me last rites. Just have somebody there to introduce me.
Yeah.
So I'm totally with you on that one. What is your thought on what happens after death? The body is dead. You are laying prone out on the living room floor. What happens to Jason?
Well, I mean, like I said, I try to stay neutral on a belief structure, but, I mean, yeah, I do think our energy continues on. You know, as I said, even on your show, I said, you know, there is scientific proof that, yes, electricity doesn't die. Energy doesn't die. It continues. Just because a conductor is dead doesn't mean the current is gone. It doesn't work that way. So, yeah, I do think we continue on as spirits. Now, the biggest question is how come there isn't as many spirits on this planet that there should be? Since the beginning of time, there's been a lot of dead people. I mean, I'm sure you all can agree with that. A lot of dead people. A lot of them. you know, this planet in reality should be crawling with spirits. So the question is, you know, where does some of these ghosts go?
I have a theory. Actually, I have a couple of theories on that. Brian, it's your show. I'll feel free to let you have it first.
No, you know me. No, man, you know me. I don't think like that. Go ahead, you know.
Okay. My first theory is I do believe in reincarnation. We do get recycled. You might have heard of this guy or not. I'm not real sure. He was some Asian dude, Oriental little cat named Buddha, that claimed that he spent 27 cycles in his human form before he actually got it close enough to write and ascended to be with the gods.
I've heard about that story.
So there's that theory. There's also the theory of, I've got a couple of really weird family incidences where I have to question this one. There's a soul for a soul trade theory. We had a young lady that was having an extremely difficult pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
They did not expect, and they told her it would be best at like 7 months to abort the child because everything was going wrong. A week later, her grandmother passed away. A week later, the baby was born, and the baby is perfectly fine, even though there were so many issues and so many complications from day one when she went to the doctor and like 3 weeks along. And, you know, so the thought there is, okay, grandmother passed away, so great-grandchild can be born.
I kind of agree with you there, because many times, I know in my life, with my own children, a few of them, one of them was conceived right at the same time that one of my grandparents passed away, and a couple others, other people. I don't know. It's too coincidental. So I can see where some of that would be taking place.
Well, my other thought is, and I got this from the father at a Catholic church here locally. His statement was there are only two people in heaven at this moment, and the rest are awaiting entry. And I asked him what he meant. And he said, well, the Bible tells us that the spirit and the body will reunite upon completion.
Upon what, I'm sorry?
Completion.
Well, you know, if you look at...
I didn't really understand what the hell he meant.
Well, if you look at Revelations, it talks about the same thing. It doesn't say that the bodies are already in heaven. It says that they're here and they will rise and go to heaven.
Exactly. That means that the spirit and the body are separated at this point. Well, where is the spirit being held? The spirit is being held in purgatory. Now, purgatory is not a, you know, they always said that you're going to rot in hell forever in purgatory. Purgatory is not a negative, you know, it's not detention. It's a period of time between passing and learning and accepting and then being able to move on. Now, I've spoken with Christina Rake many times. Most people know her as Bishop Rake.
Yep.
And she speaks of purgatory
as being a place where you go to learn how to be deceased. All right, well, I'm kind of cool with that. I wouldn't mind learning how to be deceased. I just don't want to be deceased to sign up for that class.
Well, what if it's more than that? What if when we die, we actually have more choices than what we think? You know, yeah, there may be some confusion. There may be some people who don't know they're dead or don't know which route to take. But what if we're given the choices? Do you want to go to heaven, or do you want to come back, as in recycled?
Well, here's a thought. Who's to say that where you and I are at right now, at this point in time, when Jason along with us, aren't in purgatory, and we're not trying to figure out how to make ourselves better to move on to the next stage?
Which is
where the soul and the body join.
That's very good information, and that's a very good question, because so many times, you can't help but kind of feel like all of us are stuck here until we actually get something right. You know, what that is.
The case, I promise you, I will be the first 200-year-old individual, because I ain't got shit right in 20 decades.
Well, I don't mean stuck here in the same body. I mean recycled. Because here's the thing. Everything, everything on this planet is recyclable eventually. It may take 1,000 years. It may take 10 years. It may take even less than that. But everything on this planet is recycled. It is naive of us to believe that we also are not recyclable.
Well, just like it's naive of us to believe that there aren't others out there on different planets, different something. I mean, I wholeheartedly believe in aliens, and they have come here and visited, and they have bugged out, but Jason, I'm going to quote you, brother. You good with that?
Say that again?
I said I'm going to quote you. Are you good with that?
I'm good.
I haven't been anal probed, and I haven't had anything shoved up my penis. I don't think aliens have visited me yet.
I've never had any kind of anal probing going on. I've never had any kind of weird testing thing shoved in any hole that I may have, whether it's through my penis, anus, ears, nose.
Are you certain about that?
I'm 100% positive.
Because you said 9 inches earlier, you didn't specify if it was yours or somebody else's.
Hey, back when I was a teenager, I'm not going to lie, I was on a lot of drugs. So there could have been a time I was out and don't remember, and yeah, I might have stuck in. I have no idea.
Oh my God!
As far as I know, it hasn't happened.
By the way, Jason, earlier when I said I'm going to get a little personal, I was going to ask what's the most you've had and that you really enjoyed, but you answered it before I even got to ask the question, and I appreciate your forethought.
Yeah.
Jennifer, you still with us?
The crowd goes silent.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Dennis, we have Jennifer on here, too. You're not going to get in on this?
I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Holy
Learning
cow.
A lot about you men.
I just walked outside. You guys, I'm going through a really good thunderstorm right now, so if the show cuts off or whatever, I apologize. But, yeah, I just walked outside, and it's, like, really, really bad.
You're lucky.
There's some energy for you.
It was over 70 and beautiful here today, so.
I think with myself, I am very open-minded. You know, for me, I believe it, and I believe that anything is possible. And I'm not 100%, you know, oh, yeah, but I believe that it's possible. Now, until, and I'm kind of opposite, until something, there's a reason for me not to believe it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing the research that I'm doing and that I'm trying to do, either I'm going to prove that what I believe isn't factual, or I'm going to prove that it is. So, you know, either way it goes, I'm accomplishing something towards that goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, no matter how you look at life in general, as long as you're moving toward something, then you're doing the right thing. It's when you stagnate that things go sour. Look at any body of water. There's that little side pool off to the side that when the water is high and the water is constantly cycling through that small little offset, everything in that little small offset is fine. I look at my mind as that little small offset. But when everything goes low, and that little body of water off to the side stagnates and just sits there and no fresh water comes through it and no fresh anything happens to it, all it does is sit there, get stinky, and dies.
Well, here's an example with me. You know, if I sit down and watch TV, I don't watch all the sitcoms and all that crap, you know. I usually watch Discovery, History, those type of channels, because if I'm going to sit there and have to watch TV, at least I can be learning something at the same time. And as it kind of goes along with what you're saying, Dennis, is you know, I want to, if I'm not learning, then I'm just going to get stale and stagnant. It's so funny that you say that, use that term, because I've used it so many times.
Well, one of the things that I do, I don't want to be like, you know, the state's most looked upon historians or anything. But I do study and research significant locations in my state. Why? Because at some point in time, I'm going to be driving down the road and go, oh, son of a bitch, Route 617? Yep. There's a house back there, or there's a mansion back there, or there's a whatever I want to go look at. And I'm just constantly studying shit, and I don't know why, other than I'm not a huge fan of boredom. But, and you can only listen to so many people sing bad karaoke on, you know, The Voice or whatever.
Right. Well, see, that's kind of how I am, too. You know, I want to gather as much knowledge as I can before I leave this world. Are you guys there?
What about you, Jason? What do you do?
Say that again? I'm, like, multitasking like a son of a bitch right now. Say that again?
Well,
no, I thought I lost
for...
you guys.
Oh, well, we were talking about research and just studying this, studying that, studying any damn thing that comes along. What about you? What areas of special interest study do you burn up your extra time with, so to speak?
Well, there's so many different, you know, things that you can research that, you know, I'm only one person. I can't do it all. I wish I could, but I can't. Because, quite frankly, I've got an interest in almost everything. But, you know, once you start, you know, getting into too much, you start mixing up all your research, and it all gets messed up. The next thing you know, a ghost is Bigfoot, and a Bigfoot is a ghost, and, you know, you don't want any of that. So, you know, just, I try to, you know, stay put with one direct type of research, and I go along with that, and I just do what I do that way. I remain neutral on most theories and ideas. I know a lot of people out there are pretty emphatic about what they believe and how they believe. I don't think you should, you know, try to incorporate a belief in any kind of research, because, you know, whatever evidence you do conjure up or wind up getting, you're going to try to structure it so it fits that particular belief structure. And, you know, that's basically taking your free will out of everything. You know, your evidence is already determined to be a specific thing. And that's wrong in my honest opinion. So I tend to just go with, you know, one particular thing, you know, the paranormal, the ghosts, that's what I'm after. And I remain neutral on most of the ideas and theories out there. I like hearing them. I think there's a good possibility that, you know, a lot of these theories could be 100% accurate. And I also think that, you know, there's a possibility that all these theories could be 100% inaccurate. It's just a matter of, you know, going out there and trying to do it and conjure up what you can to start, you know, solidifying some of this, some of these ideas and theories that are out there.
Yeah, and I think that's what most of us are after, is just trying to find some way to solidify the theories. You know, either debunk the theory or prove the theory. But
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Is, I mean, we will never, I don't know about we. I know I will never claim that $1 million that the foundation has put up for proof of the paranormal.
Right.
I agree with you. I've always, and you see this a lot too, another big problem in the paranormal community is, you know, a lot of these people are, you know, they're really downing some of the evidence that's out there, and some of them are completely bullshit. You can look at it and say, yeah, that's bullshit. You know it is, 100%, because, you know, I've got the phone app at home. I know it's bullshit. I got the same ghosts. But, you know, if you can look at it and say, okay, I've never seen that type of app. I've ran tests. I can't figure out anything that's, you know, wrong with it as far as it being, you know, Photoshopped or anything like that. And sometimes you can tell if you actually get into it. But, you know, if you don't have the evidence to say that's a good picture, you got to have the evidence to say it's a bad picture. Otherwise, you have to chalk it up as a questionable one.
All right. Well, how... Oh, man, this one's probably going to earn me some shit points, not brownie points. Jason, how much do you
believe
in... I find
your lack of faith disturbing.
What the hell was that?
That would probably be Brian playing with the soundboard going, oh, shit, no, not yet.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Hey, you got a lot of Star Wars, man.
Now, Jason, I'm going to put you, like, major on the spot.
Okay.
You good with that?
Wait, have at it.
All right. What is your belief in remote viewing? And you know exactly why I'm asking.
Remote viewing?
Yes.
I do think there are people. I think psychic ability is does exist. I do think there is an ability of remote viewing. I do think, you know, psychic other forms of psychic abilities also exist. Again, though, it goes with that paranormal picture thing. You know, there are a lot of people out there now, you know, looking for the fame, looking for the glory, looking for, you know, to be the next big thing in the community, and they're faking pictures or faking evidence, and a lot of it you can look at and say, yeah, it's bullshit, but... you know, ever since, you know, the TV shows came out, so forth and so on, it's not too much with the guys. It's not a guy thing too much. So, I mean, most of the guy psychics out there, I do tend to believe and trust, but everywhere you turn, there's a female that's, oh, I'm psychic, I'm a sensitive. And I'm looking at him like, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? But I don't know why. It is. It's just the way it is.
Okay, I mean, I'm totally behind you, and I'll tell you, up until about 2 years ago, I would have been 150% behind you, but right now I'm only about 50% behind you, and you know why.
We have a psychic medium on our team, Mary Barrett, and she was on the show last week, and let me tell you, she's pretty good. I mean, she's told people some things that no one else in the world could have known. And I know these people.
I'm not saying they don't exist.
Yeah.
Again, you know, like I said, I do believe that there are a lot of excellent, amazing psychics out there. There are you know, a few of them that I trust 100%. And they seem to be, you know, extremely accurate with everything that they've said. So, I mean, I do think they do exist. I do think people do have the ability. I think everybody has an ability to be psychic. It's just whether or not you're in tune for that particular part of your brain.
Well, I mean, it's just like everything else. It's just like the paranormal now. I mean, everybody and their brother's coming out, and, oh, they're all of a sudden the paranormal researcher. You know, it's the same thing with psychics. You know,
it's the same thing.
Yeah, like I said, it's
mostly with females for some odd reason. Every female in the world is a fucking psychic. And it amazes me. I don't know why. It's not too much for the guy.
It's either that or a witch. You know what I'm
saying? Witches too, another big thing. And that's even going to get worse now, considering that new show Salem's out. Everybody's going to be a Wiccan or a pagan, and they're going to pray to some god that they've never even knew existed 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Here we go, charmed all over again, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy, and then you start asking questions about, you know, their whole belief structure, and I know a few pagans, I know a few Wiccans, and they are, Nancy, you know the Wiccan vixen Nancy Planetta? She's a very good friend of mine, I love her to death, extremely smart woman, extremely, you should get her on your show one time, extremely brilliant woman, she's a Wiccan, and she's been a Wiccan ever since she was a teenager. She studied it, she's mastered it, she preaches it, she does it, very smart woman. So, I mean, I chat with her a lot. I have knowledge on the whole thing. And then I talk to these people who now all of a sudden are going to, you know, claim they're a Wiccan or a pagan or whatever the case may be. And I hear them. And after a while, it's like, you have no idea what you're talking about.
My brother-in-law at the time claimed to be a Druid priest. And I'm like, do you even know what the hell you're talking about? Do you even know what that is? You know, it's, come on, you know? And as far as the psychic thing goes, it's right along up there with the paranormal thing. Now, I know Mary has some ability. She told me, she told friends of mine things that no one else knew. She could not have possibly known. So this is Mary, if you're listening, you're not included in this. But, you know, all these closet psychics that are coming out and all these closet paranormal researchers all of a sudden, you know, it all boils down to the same thing, money. You know, when money got involved, these television shows, when all this got involved, that's when everything started going downhill. You know, it all boils down to everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants a little piece of that pie. Everybody wants a dollar.
Yeah, 100%. Everybody sits down. I mean, and I'm sure you can agree. I mean, I'm in the same boat. I'm an author. I'm a radio show host. I do events. I don't get paid for any of it. You know? I mean, I do it all for free. Yeah, sure, when I do events, I got to charge something, but it doesn't go as a profit to me. None of it does. My events are extremely cheap, and it's like that. Why? Because I care about the research. I want people to come and research.
I thought Dennis was a cheap hoe. We got another one. No, I'm joking. I feel you 100%. You know, it's really saddening because, you know, you get all these, and I say teenagers, but it's adults too, all these impressionable people who live in these fantasy worlds as it is. You know, play nothing but World of Warcraft 24/7, and they see these shows and they think, oh, I want to do that, and they just kind of jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and that's all it is. You know, they see that gleam, they see that fortune, the paranormal awards. That's what it's all about. It's all about the fame and fortune, and, you know, just to glamorize something. It's horrible. It is.
Well. Here's kind of my thought on the whole thing. We can all claim to be psychic. We can all claim to be remote viewers. We can all claim to be empathic. We can all claim to be this, that, and the other. What it boils down to, though, what is your purpose? What is your purpose in claiming that? Is it just for fame? Because trust me, look how many famous people have died from a drug overdose because they couldn't handle the fame. So is that really what you want? Is it the money? Look how many of them have gotten into drugs because they didn't have much else to do with their life besides do drugs.
Yeah.
So is that what you want to be? Is it the items, the objects, the cars that come with the money? Because I haven't seen a casket yet that can hold a half dozen $200,000 cars and my body. So here's the best idea. Just be real. Just be you.
That's what I say. Be who you are.
If you have that ability, fantastic. If not, don't try to play off that you do.
I'm going to throw a little background music in here for you.
It's only going to kill you in the end. I get a little background music while I talk. So I will model my speech after the background music. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, just remember, when it all boils down to it, we all stand before the same God.
Isn't that the theme music that was on The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when the dude's walking away on the highway.
When he's walking away, dude. With his thumb out hitchhiking. Oh, my God.
And when at some moment you turn green, just remember you chose that path.
And now, as we leave this particular broadcast,
instead, now you're some big, ugly, green bastard that nobody wants to be friends with.
Oh, man,
just
okay, enough of that.
Just be true to yourself. See, that shit just ain't right. Jennifer, why do you let him do this?
Hey,
what's this?
Didn't you lock him out of the board?
It was perfect with your monologue.
It was.
Oh, my God, I'm dying.
No, dying is last night when Matt said something, and I don't remember what the hell it was, but he made some comment about condoms. And I went, well, yeah, I understand the use of condoms, but just remember, when they say that they prefer you use sheepskin condoms, they don't mean they want the whole sheep still in the skin. You don't wear them that way.
Oh, he's been a bad boy.
Of course, then I've got to be a smartass, and I'm going, Danny.
Damn! Oh,
we went for 10 minutes. I just couldn't drop it, and I don't know why, but I had tears rolling down my damn face going, oh, my God, he's going to hate me. I don't care. This is shit funny. And I had three guests on air with us. But listen, Jason, what do you have? There's about 6 minutes left on air before it goes to archives. So, Jason, throw out your plugs, man. I'm going to step on your toes here.
All right, no.
No, that's cool, man.
Cool. If anyone wants to reach me, you can always find me on Facebook. Just look up Jason Stanton. I have a Ghost Chat Radio fan page as well. You can always check that out. I keep up to date on all the cool things that's paranormal there, if I can, and what's going on my radio show, so forth and so on. You can find my book, Unrested Peace. It's available on at Amazon for Kindle and paperback. It's a fairly cheap price. I think it's like $14 or something like that, so it's not expensive. And it's gotten some amazing reviews, so I'm pretty thankful for that. I don't even know how it got amazing reviews, but hey, I've seen more other miracles happen. Why not that? My show airs Monday nights from 6 to 9, 8 to Monday night 6 to 8.
English, bitch.
PM Eastern time. I'm getting all tongue-tied. And Tuesday night, you can find it. It's from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern time on DTM Wicked Radio. May 3rd, I will be down at St. Albans Sanatorium for a event that you could possibly not imagine. You know, this is the event you want to go to. It's going to be a fantastic event. St. Albans is known for some amazing, just flat-out amazing paranormal activity that has happened to people, some phenomena. I mean, apparently there's been teams that were pushed over railings, and, you know, they're hearing screams up and down hallways, footsteps. There's some kind of weird dude down in the boiler room that gropes females. So, I mean, it's going to be a fantastic event. Those tickets are $65 a pop.
Hang out with him.
There you go. There you go. We might have some ghostly sex. Who knows? Or we'll wind up there with having butt sex without realizing it. Who the hell knows?
Oh, Lord. Here we go again.
Well, anyway, the tickets are $65 a pop. They're not expensive. Like I said, I do what I can to keep my prices down as low as possible because I want, you know, researchers to come in and do what they got to do to get whatever they can out of it. I've got some great speakers coming. That's going to be down there. Dennis is one of them. He's going to be speaking. We also have Pat Bouchard. She's coming over. She's a photojournalist and a psychic. She's going to be talking about some psychic things and boat photography. I've got the owner, Marcel Hanover. She's going to be speaking about some of the activity that's been going on there. I've got Tara Parafetti. She's going to be speaking about different types of religious belief systems and protection. So it's going to be fantastic. I honestly can't wait to get down there. The stories that I've heard about the place is kind of, you know, encouraging me to want to go now, but sadly I can't.
That's awesome.
Where is that located?
Jason. I'm sorry?
That's St. Albans Sanatorium. That's St. Albans Sanatorium in Radford, Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
Jason, look, man, get up with me on Facebook after all that, and, you know, we'll get you back on the show and let you talk about it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I only have like another week left.
Yeah, but definitely hit me up and send me the name of that Wiccan lady that
Nancy?
You mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, send me her name. I'll try to look her up, try to get her in touch with her, get in and get her on.
Yeah, she's
well.
In my friend list.
Okay. All right. Dennis, I appreciate
yeah,
you coming
you.
On, man, and helping out.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Jennifer, as always, thanks for co-hosting. Love you to death.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. And that's going to do it, guys. That's going to do it for the show. Again, I appreciate you guys coming on. I look forward to Jason finding out more about how everything went for you.
Excellent.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Good night.
You too.
Good talking to you, Jason.